and welcome to Minute 72 of Movie Rob Minute, the daily podcast where we take a wild trip to the 1987 John Hughes comedy Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, 1 minute at a time. I'm Rob, and joining me once again today is Austin Pryor of Malkovich, Malkovich, Minute, Minute. Welcome back to the show, Austin.
Hello there, and thanks for having me. Good to be back.
Yeah, well, I had fun yesterday. I hope you did, too.
I surely did.
Even though you know, one of us is out in the cold, and the other one is in this very strange little motel room.
Oh, yeah.
Who knows which one is
which? Fine. Yeah. I'll be fine out here.
I'll just keep shivering. I wasn't calling you Dell. I was saying that one of us. It could be that I'm Dell. You never know. So, Minute 72 begins with Dell asking a big question and ends with Neil standing in the doorway. Mm. Okay, so yesterday we ended the minute by having Dell outside in the cold, just talking to himself, to Marie,
yeah,
to us, anything. And then he continues his little soliloquy and says, "When am I ever going to wake up?" Which I think is pretty funny the way that he says it, because, you know, right after he says it, we get a shot of Neil, you know, sitting up in bed. Or sorry, yeah, lying, he like opens his eyes. And it's a great transition there because, you know, when am I going to wake up? And then we get to see Neil waking up from that same point. So I'm assuming that was planned. It looks that way.
I think maybe it's one of those things you find in the edit. I'd like to, maybe it's in the script and maybe it's not, but I think, yeah, there's some really nice editing in this movie. And I think it might be just, that's a good point to cut to Neil, you know?
Yeah. Exactly. I mean, and also I love the cinematography because then we get to see Neil in bed. He like sits up and starts looking around and stuff like that. But the cinematography is great because we see like the moonlight shining on him from the outside. You know, the annoying thing that when you're in a motel or hotel that they don't have blinds or shades that close completely. So whenever it's the crack of dawn, you're going to get something, you know, even if there's that small little, you know, 2 inches in between the curtains that you weren't able to close. So there's like this beacon of light that comes through, you know, like you're in.
Yeah. And they don't want people lying in, you know what I mean? They want to clear the hotel for the next day.
That's true. Also. Yeah. But they don't need people getting up at the crack of dawn.
Oh yeah, that's true.
You know, and what's great is we see how an amazing actor Steve Martin is because you can see on his face, you know, that he's starting to get a little bit of a conscience.
Yeah.
You know, about the whole thing. I mean, like he went through a very long day. He's been through a very long 2 days, right? He's having trouble sleeping. Yeah. You know, maybe you can even say he's overtired.
Yeah.
Sometimes you might think that someone who, you know, you see a lot, I've seen it with some of my kids, you know, when they're overtired, it's even harder for them to get to sleep.
Oh, than before. Yeah.
Like how do you fall asleep? Do you fall asleep quickly or does it take you a while? What do you do? What do you do to fall asleep?
My sleep is so chaotic, and I was, as I mentioned in the last episode, I was in a wedding band for years, and just those late nights, it really screwed me up. And so I have to work very hard on getting to sleep. And it's just like once I do the right things and I don't drink coffee and I, you know, behave myself, I'm not too bad. It doesn't take me too long to get to sleep, but it'll just be like, I'll just then randomly wake at 4:30 or 5:30 in the morning. Then that's it. You know, you're up.
Wow.
So I'm not somebody who can get by on 4 hours sleep. So I just, you know, I have to go back and sleep the next day. But I don't think. I certainly wouldn't be able to sleep in that exposed car and in that motel. Yeah. With the light coming in, I don't think I'd be too happy either.
Yeah. Now, I mean, for me, I actually, my wife, it drives my wife crazy that I can just pretty much close my eyes.
You can just switch off. Yeah.
And I'm just completely asleep. You know, we don't know. And then she'll like move. And then I'll say, what happened? What happened? And then she'll be like, you were sleeping. Go back to sleep.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't even realize that I was sleeping. And she can just lie in bed for hours.
Oh,
you know, she has all these different thoughts and, you know.
Yeah.
I guess you could say I have a clear conscience, and that's why I fall asleep.
My wife and I are the other way around. She can just fall asleep at the drop of a hat, and she'll, you know, if she decides, you know, that she needs to go to bed and catch up on sleep, you know, for a nap or something, she will just switch off, you know, and it's a great way to be.
Yeah.
Another person with a clear conscience.
My problem also is I wake up early, you know, so it doesn't matter what time I go to sleep. I can go to sleep at 1 o'clock in the morning. I'll still be up at 5:30, you know, and then, you know, I will have, you know, that 4 hour sleep day where I just gotta go through the whole day like that and stuff like that. But every so often it catches up with me and, you know, I go to bed a little bit earlier and I get like 7 hours of sleep and then I'm fine. You know, that type of thing.
Wow. Yeah. that sounds, I wish I could catch up that easily. Yeah.
Yeah. So basically at this point, Neil then like sits up in bed and walks around the room, walks over to the window, takes a peek out of the curtains, and he ends up seeing Del sitting in the car with snow falling all around him. Once again, to remind people that there really was no snow in southern Illinois on November 25th, 1987, but it's good for in the Plains Trains and Automobiles universe.
Sorry, are they not in Wichita now?
No, they're far from Wichita. They left Wichita. Oh,
Wichita was the first motel.
The first motel was in Wichita. Then they went to Jefferson City, where they caught the bus to St. Louis.
Okay.
And then St. Louis is where they rented the car. And then they have a 5-hour drive from St. Louis to Chicago that has taken them about 8 or 9 hours so far.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, it takes them a little longer than it really should. And then they, you know, decide at 12:30 to finally go to sleep because that car is not going to get to Chicago in the middle of the night.
No.
It's a little too warm for them.
Yeah.
And then we get to hear Del continue to talk to Marie, where he says, "I wish you were here with me right now, but I guess that's not going to happen. Not now, anyway." So, first of all, I love the fact that this little scene of dialogue is completely different if you know what happens at the end of this movie or not.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, yeah.
You know, like I love movies that do that, where you can watch one movie and see something completely different. Like, can you think of any examples of movies where after you saw them the first time, because of some major plot point or something like that, where there's a surprise when you saw it the next time, you were watching a different movie?
Yeah, I mean, I suppose the obvious example would be something like The Sixth Sense.
Yes.
Or The Usual Suspects.
Ooh, okay. Those are two of the ones on my list. Very good.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, they're both twist movies that rely on the twist. I would say Usual Suspects holds up better on repeated viewing. I think I've seen The Sixth Sense a few times, but not since it came out. Not since, like, it was, you know, shortly after it came out on home video and that. Probably because I'm not so crazy about the subsequent output of M. Night Shyamalan. If it was just on its own, I'd probably think, oh, that was great, you know. Rewatching The Usual Suspects, which of course both the director and the star are, you know, not the most savory people in the world, and it's a little bit colored from real life, but just separating it and watching it as a movie, that watching who we, you know, spoilers, are we giving spoilers, are we saying, for a 1994 movie?
1995. Yes, good.
Five. Okay, but not bad for off the top of my head. But that, just once we know what we know by the end of the movie, watching that performance and watching all the subtle little things and all the the names that he introduces into his storytelling and all that, it's just great. And that's more kind of plot stuff, but the actual kind of just, you know, performance and the emotional side of things is just watching these two characters play off each other and rewatching that is amazing.
I remember the first time I saw The Sixth Sense, there was a lot of hype beforehand and people were talking about it and stuff like that, and no one actually told me the twist, but I was able to figure it out on my own. You know, that's one of the things of being someone who watches a lot of movies and stuff like that. So based on the little information that I gotten, I was able to figure out what the twist would be. And so therefore, when I went to go see this movie with a few friends, including, this is very interesting, including the friend that I mentioned yesterday in my Off the Beaten Track story, He was
Oh,
visiting
yes.
Israel at the time, and then we went to
Cool.
go see The Sixth Sense together. And I remember that he and I were sitting there, and we saw two completely different movies because I
Yeah.
already knew what I was looking for the little things,
Yes, you're
you
looking
know?
for the signs.
Yeah, exactly.
A good few people have said that to me over the years about the Sixth Sense, that they got it beforehand, and some people just watched the movie and didn't think it was a, was like, oh he died that time at the start, and he's been a ghost. We know that, don't we? Like, some people just didn't even know that it was meant to be kind of hidden from them.
Right,
But I
exactly.
totally I no matter how much I analyze movies and do minute by minute podcasts and stuff, I still, like, I fall for most things like that. I'm whatever's up on the screen, I'm like, I don't, I just kind of believe it all, and then I get into the analytical framework, analytical mindset afterwards, you know.
Right, but
But
for me, I'm not saying that I always get everything. I'm not trying to,
no, I got you.
say I'm holier than thou for anyone listening about that. Of course not. You know, just in this particular circumstance, I was
It
able to
just
figure it
clicked
out.
with you.
Yeah. Yeah, there are movies where I watch and I will say, huh, how'd that happen? You know, it's not, so another example that I would bring would be Memento.
Ah, yes. Yeah.
You know, Christopher Nolan's film, which is the
Yeah.
same thing. Once you've seen the whole thing, and then you rewatch it, and you're like, wow, it's a completely different
And
movie. And I've even seen it in chronological order also.
chronological, I was just going to say,
Yes.
yeah. That's
Yeah.
great. Yeah, you can watch in chronological order, which is, as a movie, not great. It's kind of boring to have all the phone conversation at the start. But as a as an exercise in kind of studying the movie, it's great. It's great to see how he constructed it, and it's just it's a brilliant technique to put us. It's the only way to put the audience in the mind of the protagonist, which is
Yeah.
like his it's the blank slate. How did I get here? Every 5 minutes,
Yeah,
whatever.
and the great thing about it is that even though Memento came out 22 years ago, I
Yeah.
can't think of any example of some of another movie that came out that did something similar.
No,
It's
it's
so
really,
unique.
yeah, it's really interesting. And it's
And I mean,
really, yeah, and it really holds up.
most movies, if something works, it's copied over and over. And Memento is not something that people have tried to do. Right. And right. And then so
Interesting.
we see Neil looking out at Dell, and you can tell that Dell is basically freezing his butt off because by the way he's sitting with his arms, you know, tucked in and stuff like that. And then we get another shot of Neil where he gives out a big sigh as he's looking out at Dell sitting in the car. And then Neil says something to himself. He goes, "What did I do to get hooked up with this guy?" You know, where he's talking to nobody. And you can tell that he's starting to feel a little guilty about this whole thing. Even though that in some ways he shouldn't feel guilty because of everything that Dell has done to him, but not on purpose, but just that's happened because of Dell.
But I think the not on purpose thing is so important, and what a good heart Dell has is so important. You
Yes.
know, you're like, you big oaf, how do I stay mad at you, kind of
Yes.
thing. Because and John Candy is just perfect for that. You know, just like, he's he has that kind of, oafish quality. And like, oaf is what was in the cut version of the script that you read. It's
Yes.
not in the movie,
Yes.
but it's very fitting, and it's just kind of like,
Wow, you remember that from yesterday. That's pretty
Yeah, there you go. There you go. I
good.
had good night's sleep last night.
Apparently.
But
Or this morning.
this morning. Whenever. But so it just, because if somebody is like, foolish like that, and that's why they've done these awful things, you'd have to have a very cold heart to not kind of melt, especially when you see them out in the snow.
Yeah, that's true. And so basically, then we get a shot of Dell with his eyes closed. Looks like he's trying to sleep, or maybe has fallen asleep, could be. And then Neil opens the door to room six, which I'm glad they kept that continuity right, where it's the same room. And he looks out at Dell, who's sitting in the car. And the minute ends with a long, lingering shot of Neil. And then we see the viewpoint of Dell. And then the viewpoint of Neil again, it like jumps back and forth to once again try to give us a depiction of, okay, are we supposed to care about this person or not?
Yeah.
And, you know, and is Neil supposed to care about this person? I think that's more telling,
Yeah.
you know, the whole idea of how he does that.
And it just makes me think, just because before we get to them actually talking, is the whole question of talking to themselves and talking to the audience. Like, I don't know how you feel about it. Do you talk to yourself in real life out loud? No. And do you think of that as a, you know, if you walked into a room and said, found somebody talking to themselves, would you think they were very strange or what?
Yes, completely.
Really?
Completely.
Is, you know where I'm going with this.
I know you're strange, Austin. Come
Yeah, there you go. There we go. Yeah, I talk to myself out loud all the time, and I don't think I could function if I didn't,
You talk to yourself in
because
third person?
in, no,
You say, Austin, you should be doing. Wait, do you have
Oh,
like a
sorry,
little.
I do sometimes address myself, yeah,
Do
but I.
you have like a devil and an angel on each shoulder?
No, it's just all, it's much more chaotic than that. But like, for if I need to think about something clearly, the only way I can do it is to talk about it out loud. Like, that's because if I'm trying to, I've kind of, you know, I'm taking all these like personality tests and aptitude tests and learning about how my, I'm trying to narrow down what it is about my, what's wrong with me, basically. I think I have ADHD, but I'm just, I've always had these cognitive
Don't
quirks.
we
Yeah, there you go. But I think I've always had these cognitive quirks where, you know, I have to, yeah, I have to work around things and think of things in weird ways. But like, yeah, if I say something out loud, I push it into a different part of my brain because I've heard it now and I've listened to myself saying it. So now it's in like a different part of my short-term memory. So I
Okay, that's
can
fair.
draw on that much more easily. And plus, I'm obsessed with speech, and I say things over and over again. And obviously, you know, it's no accident that I've ended up being a singer and now a podcaster, you know, because just the human voice in, you know, using my own and listening to others is just that's my thing, you know. So
Okay,
yeah, because
that's fair.
I had a friend who was saying, like, God, it kind of, I know they kind of have to do that in movies where characters talk to themselves because, you know, because otherwise, how do you know what they're thinking? But it kind of annoys me and takes me out of it. And I was like, what? It hadn't even occurred to me that it was a film thing. It's like, I talk to myself all the time, and I wouldn't, yeah, it wouldn't occur to me to keep stum, you know?
Do people think if they're around you and they hear that, do they think that you're talking to them?
No, I mean, I don't. I'm not, you know, I'm not deranged. I'm not going to just
I
start
didn't say
out
that.
loud
I didn't say that.
conversation. No, I know.
I
I'm just
wasn't
not
even
going to.
implying it.
I'm not going to start an out loud conversation with myself while there's somebody else in the room. But yeah, occasionally people have walked into the room, and be like, "Who are you talking to?" I was like, "I was just talking to myself," you know. Or I had a friend who was saying, "Oh yeah, sorry, I've already said that." But yeah, like, but I have been caught walking down the street looking like a complete, you know, lunatic. And I once just like was walking down the street talking to myself, and I just heard my phone buzzing, and it was just a friend of mine, one of the guys in the band, was just like, Austin, stop talking to yourself. You look like a crazy person. He was just waiting for his bus, and I was walking past, and I didn't notice him. So I was just like, "Oh yeah, I might need to curtail
Oh, wow.
that."
All right. Makes sense. So, you have anything else you want to say about this minute before we get to the script?
Well, I was saying yesterday that the kind of sentimentality in this is like is earned, and I like it, and I like how John Hughes does it, but the way it's underscored is musically is a bit rough. This kind of synth, with these kind of this soft synth with these synthesized vocals, I am not a fan, and I think it's like watching the movie again, I wouldn't want to change it because it's so much of its era, and it has such a nostalgic kind of this soundtrack, but this is not a good soundtrack, you know. this music is bland and really just middle of the road and kind of session musician-y later, and it's just like, how can this be in the same movie as The Mess Around with Ray Charles? You know what I mean? That song is so amazing and has such energy to it, and it sounds great on the soundtrack, and it just how can you go from that to this? It's just like, it's such insipid music, and it's the music,
but it works.
Like,
that's the thing. It works for its time. It's the 80s. 80s, you had all these synthesized music. You know,
totally, and I'm not Axel for a second,
you know, that type of thing. And this, and it's a very catchy tune. I could hum this tune all day. You know, the synthesized.
The Red River
the
Valley
main one. Yeah.
Oh right. Yeah. 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 I don't mind the kind of the one that's a bit more. I don't know if you call it electro or whatever it is. The one that's in the movie a fair bit with the "you're talking to the wrong guy." That's like a Red River Valley. Yeah, I don't know. That's like a. Don't get me started on that.
Red River Valley one. You're the music person on that.
No, I'm not. I'm not even.
You're
I'm not
more
even
of a music person than I am.
Okay.
I can barely carry a tune.
Yeah. So Ira Newborn is the composer here, and Ira, you know, what else do you got? I don't want to, you know, just diss the guy based on one movie. I'll see what else he's done, but that was one point I had about the music.
Okay, all right, that's fair. As I said, I'm not an authority on music, so that's fine.
Yeah, and like I say, I do have a nostalgic attachment to it, and of all these movies in this era, you know, they really sound like this, and it's kind of a signature, not just the John Hughes one, but the John Hughes ones, but a lot of the other ones that would have this same kind of set of post Saturday Night Live, post Second City kind of actors in them, and so, like, you know, I do not want to change a thing about it, but it's not great.
Right. Okay. Fair enough. So the every day we go through the various discrepancies between the final shooting script and the final cut. And this minute has very little, but there are still a few minor discrepancies. As I mentioned yesterday, it's misplaced in the script, or they changed it for the final cut, where Neil basically says, "What did I do to get hooked up with this oaf?" Mm-hmm. As opposed to just saying what he says here, "What did I do to get hooked up with this guy?" You know, so I like the fact that they changed it, because I think "guy" sounds nicer than "oaf."
Yeah,
you know, because
softer.
Because at this point, you know, the two of them are trying to get together more, or the story is trying to get them together more.
Yeah.
And then in the script, it continues with Dell's discussion. He goes, "I'm starting to wonder if I'm ever going to wake up. If I could just see you for a minute, you'd set me right." And then there's a pause, and then he says, "Good night, sweetheart." Mm. And then it says, he breathes a deep, soulful sigh. He settles into the seat and puts his hat on. The motel door opens. Dell shifts his look to the motel. Neil's in the doorway. Dell doesn't know what Neil wants. You know, that's the way that it's described in the original script. I like the way they do it here in the movie. I don't think it's needed here.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think that they need to have him say goodnight to Marie. It's not necessary. So in this case, I give the thumbs up that they cut the right amount of it.
Yeah, I think so too. It does add one more little breadcrumb to the trail of clues about how, you know, the wife is not there anymore, and you know, why is he not looking for a payphone? Why is he talking to her by just sitting there, you know? And then the fact that he says, "If I could just see you for a minute," it's you can read that as, oh, we're far away from each other. But I think it would be a little bit more of a clue if that was still in the movie. that's one of those things that I used to, when I watched the movie as a kid, I used to just be like, well, I guess grown-ups would pick up on that stuff, but I don't feel like I could have guessed that there was anything strange going on with the wife. Do you? How right. do you feel about that? Do you think
I don't know. It's a problem. I have the same issue as you because I saw this when I was 13. You know, when it came out in 1987. So I can't really say, you know, whether, whether I obviously didn't get it at the time, but would I have gotten it more as an adult? I'm not sure. It's hard to tell because of the way they do edit this really well. That
beautifully. Yeah.
That it's harder to tell.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause I wonder, does Neil have enough information to be able to tell?
In the script, he does, but not in the movie.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause he figures it out while sitting on the train in later minutes, obviously.
Yes.
And, I've always bought it. I think it's a great scene. And, you know, I like me. My wife likes me. And we play that again. And getting into future minutes now. But just
this... that scene you just mentioned is happened a long time ago.
Oh, no, but the
replay of it. I know, the flashback. I'm talking about the flashback, of course.
Yeah, yeah. So I think the line that sells it really is the line of, I haven't been home in years.
Yeah.
Which you can see as a slip, you know. And a figure of speech he covers up, and there's a bit of kind of bluster there. So I think that's kind of the one that makes it, helps it be believable.
Okay. Yeah, I can buy that. That's good. Mm. All right. So every day we have a little segment called Off the Beaten Track, where either my guest or myself will give a little adventure or misadventure of something that happened to us along the journey of life. And once again, everyone gets another story from me. All right. In 2014, I was forced to go on a business trip to Bonn, Germany. And I was not happy about having to go there. I don't like to travel. I'm a homebody. I like staying home. Like staying, you know, close to home. That's where I got, you know, my laptop. That's where I got my movies. Yeah. That's where I got my family. You know, gotcha. I don't need to go anywhere. My wife was actually pregnant with our youngest daughter at the time, and she didn't want me to go. But I didn't have a choice. I had to go for work.
So it wasn't particularly Germany, or was it?
Well, that's true. Also, I wasn't too happy.
A little bit of that there.
I wasn't too happy about going to Germany, and I maybe one day this week I'll talk about my feelings when I was going on a train as a Jew going through Germany. But you know, we won't talk about that at this point. But what happened was because I'm such a movie lover, I said, okay, well, you know, it'll be interesting to actually go and see a movie in Germany, you know, in a different country. You know, I'm used to seeing movies either in America or here in Israel. You know, so I said, all right, it'll be a nice experience because I knew that I'll have my evenings off and stuff like that. So before I went, I started doing research, trying to get in touch with people who might know about Germany to try and help me find, you know, information about how I can find movies in Germany. And the only information that I was able to get is that the only showings that they have that are not dubbed into German are like at 2 o'clock in the morning, 1 o'clock in the morning, 2 o'clock in the morning, something like that. And that basically deterred me from going in the end. In the end, I didn't go because, you know, I knew I had to get up for my meetings bright and early. And to as much as I would have loved to have gone to see a movie in that type of environment, to see the different experience of going to a movie, I just couldn't. I remember that X-Men Days of Future Past was playing.
Yeah.
And that was like one of the movies. I remember for a few weeks before I went, I kept looking to see what movies were going to be showing at 2 o'clock in the morning, you know, and hoping that there'd be something, you know, really that would be a great movie to see in the theater. And in the end, it just didn't work out. I ended up just spending time in my room watching movies on my laptop instead. Oh. You know? But I mean, I find that fun too. But, you know, for me, the daunting task of, you know, having to wait till 2 o'clock in the morning to go see a movie in English, just I didn't need that. And that'll, I figured I'd also save a little money by not having to go there.
Yeah.
No. So
plus you don't know what other weirdos you'll run into at two o'clock in the morning.
That was actually one of my concerns also, because I said, okay, I'm gonna take a taxi, and how do I know I'm gonna be able to find a taxi back? I don't want to be walking around a very strange country where nobody speaks English. I mean, I'll actually combine another story that I was going to tell at some other time, but it doesn't matter. When I was at the train station in order to try to, I don't remember, if I was actually both going to my destination and going away from my destination. I wanted to make sure I was on the right platform, and I kept trying to talk to people, and nobody understood anything.
Wow. You know,
they weren't
That's
able
very
to...
surprising, because maybe it's just because it's Bonn rather than, you know, Berlin or Munich
Frankfurt
or somewhere.
Or something like that.
Yeah, right? Because, like, I think of Germans in general as having great English, you know?
Not where I was in Bonn.
Yeah, wow.
You know, and, you know, I found it very frustrating trying to express myself where people just didn't understand anything that I was saying. So, you see here, I got two stories in one, because I was going to keep that one for another day, but why not? All right. So why don't you tell people once again how they can get in touch with you?
I am at malkovichminutes.net, M-A-L-K-O-V-I-C-H, minutes.net. And you'll find all the links there. See you out there.
All right. And while you're doing that, you can go rate, review, and subscribe on any podcast you might be listening to this show on. You can do a quick search to find me just about anywhere. You just look up Movie Rob Minute. You can find me on Twitter. You can find me on Facebook. And you can find me on my website. And once again, today is episode 72 of the Silverado Minute. You can go over there to silveradominute.com and check out what me and my good friend Todd Liebenow have to say about the movie Silverado, minute 72.
And make sure you go back and listen to the week one as well.
Yes, of course. Of course. Well, what do you mean week one? You have to listen to all of them. You
know,
you have 71 episodes to catch up on. So it shouldn't take you that long. You know. All right. Until tomorrow, you're fucked.
You're fucked. That's great.